You're listening to the Sound Atlas.
Hey.
Talk like, tell me, give me like two sentences of what you've been up to lately.
I've got up this morning at 6 a.m., went to work around 7, and...
You're good there.
Cool.
Tommy Starr hanging out with you on the Sound Atlas, and in the studio with me today, Mr. Trevor. Mr. Trevor, if you would, go ahead and introduce yourself to everyone.
What's up, you guys? My name is Trevor Smith. I play in a band called Kiss Kiss Bang. I'm from Bowling Green, Kentucky.
Let's go ahead and tell everybody what you guys are up to right now, because I know some good things are happening with the band.
Yes, we are very busy right now. It's a very slow process. Obviously, you know, anybody who makes a record or an EP knows how it goes. We are, I would say, probably a quarter done with the EP. Because we don't know what we're going to do yet with it. Mm-hmm. We don't know if we're going to put 6 songs or 20, you know. Mm-hmm. But we just finished 3, and I think you played those.
I played one.
You played? Yeah, thank you for that, by the way.
Absolutely.
So this
She's Bad.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That one. And then this coming weekend, I'm actually going back up to the studio to do some guitar tracks and vocal tracks on the next 3.
Mm-hmm.
So... we're doing that, and like we don't know what we're going to do with the songs yet. Our main focus is to just keep recording songs,
mm-hmm.
and then when we get a list of, you know, a compiled list of songs, we'll be like, well, the ball's in our court. We can do what we want to do. We can either release an album or hold these songs, and we like to keep our options open because we do everything on our own.
Yeah.
So the full length was done with Jordan Henson,
mm-hmm.
who was the rhythm guitar player for 449.
Mm-hmm.
He did an incredible job on that demo for us, and we love him and thank him for it. But the guy we're working with now is Jordan Haynes, and the sound quality that comes out of what he does is just phenomenal. And I have a philosophy, like, for me, if I go into a studio and I'm going to record, I want to leave that studio having learned something, mm-hmm. you know? And with him, every time we leave, I learn things that blow my mind.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the simplest things. Like, it can be like... I'll be playing a chorus chord, like a tracking a chorus, and it'll be 4 chords or something. And I'll go to this chord, and it'll be like, you know, because no guitar is perfectly in tuned.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll go to a chord, and he'll be like, stop. And he'll say, hit your tuner, and we're going to tune to that chord.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll tune it to that each individual note, and then I'll play that chord. It just... simple stuff like that,
uh-huh.
and it, you know, it's just awesome to work with someone of that caliber.
Yeah,
I'm very thankful to be doing that.
Well, I mean, you're still a young man. You're still, you know, early in your musical career. So
I'm a sponge right now.
Well, exactly. You're soaking up all that stuff that maybe you're like, this is like maybe just I've only been in the studio a couple of times. Great opportunity for me to learn, and the fact that you're willing and interested in learning is a big plus.
That's one of the main reasons that I even play music, is because, you know, in school I gave up everything because it wasn't doing it for me.
Mm-hmm.
And then with music, it was like I was so eager, you know, to learn. I just wanted to learn, and it's still that way. Like, I feel like if you're not evolving and you're not trying to learn,
mm-hmm.
why are you doing what you're doing, you know?
Some of our favorite musicians say that these days. They're like, well, all these folks idolize me, and if I would have known that I was going to have so many people looking at me going, I love you, I would have practiced more. But we love them anyway.
Exactly.
Yeah, so Kiss Kiss Bang fans, you guys, you know, as we're saying, we're letting them know that you guys are working on new music. Some songs are done. Some songs are, you know, mm-hmm. kind of in their final stages.
Mm-hmm.
You're not exactly sure, but you're thinking an EP. Will it be before the end of the year, first part of next year?
We're thinking if we go down the EP route, beginning of next year.
Beginning of next year.
Yeah. Because our main thing is we just want to get the music out because we're so excited about these songs.
Yeah.
Because we've just reached a point where, you know, everybody's on, you know, on the same page, and we're writing music that's... Because, you know, you take everybody that's in this band, we've all played in local bands that were... We still, all the local bands stay busy, you know, Undead Anna and Kiss Kiss, I mean, sorry, 449 and Willow Shade.
Mm-hmm.
And Andrew was in a band called Backwoods Brotherhood, and up where he was from, they stayed busy all the time too. So we really cut our teeth on that.
Mm-hmm.
And then us coming together to do this is such a cool thing because it's like it feels like we're writing really mature mm-hmm. rock and roll. And then we almost had to pull the reins back and be like, let's not get too crazy with it. Mm-hmm. Let's just write rock and roll. Let's not genre hop. Let's not do anything that we're not, because...
Genre hop. I love that.
Yeah, because mm-hmm. I've known you since I was 15. Mm-hmm. And what's the music that I've always played? Rock and roll. Mm-hmm. It's what I know. I mean, I could switch over to country and it would probably make more sense for me, but just like, we know rock and roll. We live rock and roll. Mm-hmm. Let's just write rock and roll music. And I feel like... You know, there's so many great bands out there, man. But I just don't feel like there's an essence of that. I don't know how to compare, what to compare it to. Like the AC/DC, like the, just rock.
Just punch in the face. Yes. Yeah, let's get it going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like there's too many people overthinking it. Mm-hmm. And there's a band called Greta Van Fleet that's really doing well right now. Uh-huh. That, I feel like.
I know that band. Yeah.
Now, I do wish... Here's my thing with them. I get burned at the stake for this. People's like, well, they sound like Led Zeppelin. I'm like, yeah, they do. But 10 years ago, 5 years ago, people were like, man, I wish we had music like Zeppelin. Greta Van Fleet.
Uh-huh.
I do wish Greta Van Fleet would acknowledge that Led Zeppelin is a bigger influence on them than they do. Because the singer is always like, well, you know, how does he say it? I'm more influenced by Rush. That's what I'm, you know, mainly influenced by. And Robert Plant. And they was like, but your hand gestures are just like Robert Plant. And he was like, well, no, I get that from Joe Cocker. And I'm like, no, you don't. You get it from Robert Plant.
Well, I mean, you know, they're doing their thing. If you dig it, there you go. If you're not into it, okay. But I dig them too. I like them as well. Yeah.
Love it.
Now, we mentioned some of the guys in the band. Let's go ahead and give everybody some love. Run down who is all in Kiss Kiss Bang.
See if I can remember.
See if you can. I don't mean every member you've ever had, but who's in the line? Who do we have today?
Now, Kiss Kiss Bang has always been myself, Andrew Hopper, Corbin Burke, Malcolm Boer, and we added a member going, I think, a year ago. Mm-hmm. It's about a year. Clayton Crowder.
And, of course, Clayton is doing a little bit of solo stuff these days on mm-hmm. the side, which is cool.
It's awesome, man.
Very talented young man.
He's, for the past, like, 10 years, he's had this dream of just, just writing a list of songs that basically is like, hey, this is me, here I am. And it's taken him a long time, you know, because, you know, life throws trials and tribulations at us.
Sure.
And
that's what life is.
It is. Mm-hmm. And that's what's helping him, you know, create an incredible album. Mm-hmm. I'm getting to hear some of that. And, you know, he's kind of, we all have different philosophies and different ways of looking at things. But his deal is, I'm going to create an album for me. And luckily, I mean, everybody's going to love it. So he kind of struck gold with that.
Yeah.
Cause so he's going to have an album that he's like, this is for me. This is what I wanted to do for 10 years. I'm finally going to do it. But these songs are so good that it's going to be awesome for him. I'm super stoked.
We're going to get kind of into your musical influences, kind of go back some early days of you and music. But before we do that, I think you guys are one of the best, if not the best, live act going right now in South Central Kentucky.
Man, thank you for that.
Yeah, well, I'm just speaking the truth, brother. I mean, you guys put on an amazing show. And what I'm wondering is, did you guys, on purpose put that together? Or did you just, you get up there and you do your thing and that's just how it flows out? Or did you guys have a meeting one day and said, man, we got to put some show in our show?
Practice is the number one thing for us. And we are so inspired by the Eagles and how if they could go into a room and sing together and it'd be the most beautiful thing in the world, mm-hmm. just vocals. And I had the idea of, you know, what if Crowder came into this band and we did a bunch of harmonies? Mm-hmm. And then what the Eagles did, or what Alice in Chains did with vocals, what mm-hmm. if we did with guitars?
Yeah.
Because we have three guitars. Yeah. So what if we took Alice in Chains vocals on guitars and Eagles on vocals?
Yeah.
And we blended that together. And for months and months, we would just all get together and sing with an acoustic guitar, and we realized quickly that our voices sound really unique together. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of one of those things, and it's not, I'm not a bragging person, but when I feel energy hardcore, I'm really sensitive to energy. So when I hear that come out of three people's bodies together in the same room, mm-hmm. and it does that to me, it's like, okay, guys, we got to at least run with this, man. Mm-hmm. So we started writing songs together for Kiss Kiss Bang. And we moved to a place, Chelsea and Malcolm and myself, that has a garage, and I've lost sleep over soundproofing that thing. So we get together and just practice our butts off, man, singing.
Mm-hmm. Get the band nice and tight.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Practice is number one for us.
Yeah.
I don't want someone to think anything looks choreographed, but mm-hmm. I'll see a video somebody posted, and I'll be like, wow. Andrew and I just did a hair flip at the same time. And it looks choreographed, but when I, like, man, that's what made me fall in love with music at the first place. Because, you know, when I first started playing, which was back in high school, I was going through a really tough time. And it was the only thing that was getting me away from all the stuff at home. And whenever I would get on stage, it was like a switch just turned off.
Mm-hmm.
And nothing else, there was just nothing there.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would watch a video or hear something live back, and it was like, I don't even remember that. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So it's still that way every time.
Yeah.
I don't know what happens. There's not, I mean, if bands do choreograph stuff, that's cool. Like, I love Ghost.
Yeah.
And all their stuff is choreographed. It's beautiful. It's awesome.
Well,
but for us, it's kind of just, if you're feeling it, feel it. Just don't get hit in the head with a headstock.
Three guitars flying around, that could happen. Let's go back to the early years a little bit. What did you see? What did you hear that you were like, what's that? Who is that?
That's an awesome question. So my dad played music my whole life. He played piano and he sang, and he was in a lot of cover bands. And I didn't really get into music. It was just always in the house. You know, he was always playing. And he had cassette tracks. And one time we were in the car and he put on Van Halen Jump. Mm-hmm. And I was like, Dad, what is that? And tell me what it was. And then he put in Billy Idol, Rebel Yell. And I was like, that's cool. So that was kind of like my first introduction to hearing rock and roll. Around the age of like 5 years old, I heard Kiss.
Mm-hmm.
And it totally just changed my life. Because I didn't have superheroes or anything. I wasn't introduced to like the Batmans and everything. Mm-hmm. So when I was younger, literally Kiss was my superheroes. Like,
I can see that. I can understand.
I was drawing them all the time. I was mm-hmm. like, I just the teachers would call home and make sure everything was okay. And my mom, like, I was making straight A's.
Uh-huh.
And they'd be like, is everything okay at home? And my mom's like, yeah, why? Uh-huh. I was like, he's just, you know, he draws Kiss a lot, and he wears Kiss shirts every day to school. And she's like, he just likes Kiss. He's mm-hmm. fine.
Yeah.
But so when I got into wanting to play music, you know, fast forward to about the age of 12, I saw a commercial that had Slash on it, and it was the commercial for Guitar Hero 3, and he came out of this guy's body. And he like got peeled out of him, and he played the solo to Slither. And I was like, that looks so cool. I got the game. The song Slither wasn't even on the game. That's the only reason I bought the game. And later I kind of got into, I remember Rob Zombie's Halloween, it came out. And I wanted to get the soundtrack for it. And then I saw right next to it was Guns N' Roses' Greatest Hits, you know, the Silver
gray,
CD.
Yeah, Silver Gray, yeah.
And I was like, oh, that has Welcome to the Jungle. Mm-hmm. And I remember that being the soundtrack to Grand Theft Auto San Andreas. So yeah. I bought it, I took it home, I put it in the CD player, and it changed my life.
That did it, huh?
Yeah, the tones, the guitar tones, everything about it. I became obsessed with Guns N' Roses. And at the time, my dad had bought me a First Act electric guitar, didn't have the money to get an amp, so I was practicing, you know, just on this, which thank God I did, because it taught me how to use my fingers a lot more to get a certain sound than rather than having to cover it up with an amp.
You didn't have something to amplify it. You had to kind of really make that with your hands, totally.
So I got Appetite for Destruction. My friend was like, I just got Appetite for Destruction. You need to check out it. And I was like, no, man, I got Greatest Hits. There's nothing better than this.
Yeah.
It was Easter, and I got Appetite for Destruction. And every year my family would get together for Easter, and I had a little, I guess that'd be a Walkman, a little CD player. And that Easter, I sat in a corner and I didn't say a word to my family. And Appetite for Destruction blew me away. Uh-huh. And I didn't know what I was. It's funny because once I got that album and I had my guitar, I wanted to play those songs. Mm-hmm. And I knew, we didn't have internet growing up, but I knew from internet at school that Paradise City was G, C, and F. Well, I went to play the chords and it wasn't sounding right. I was like, why is this not sounding right? I moved my finger back and realized that note was the right note for that G. And I was like, well, what if I tuned every string down one fret? So I kind of discovered a half step tuning before I even knew what it was, all because of that album.
Yeah.
And so fast forward a little bit more, my dad sees how serious I'm getting, and he buys me an Epiphone Les Paul Standard. And still didn't have an amp, but I didn't care. I thought I was Slash.
How old are you?
Right now?
Yeah.
23.
23 years old. And so a couple of years back, you're getting into Guns N' Roses and you were into Kiss. And I'm surprised that you're not throwing in any newer bands in there, maybe in the past 5 or 10 years.
And I think the reason being is because we didn't have internet growing up.
Gotcha.
All I had was the cassettes and the... all that. But, I mean, my influences now, all these new bands, I'm influenced by so many.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's not a bad thing, because you did, you did mention Greta Van Fleet a while ago.
Yes.
But usually, most people, they grow up, you know, like with junior high school, you know, 10th, 11th, 12th grade, kind of what's happening at that time is kind of like your music.
Exactly.
And then occasionally, there'll be some mixed in what mom and dad is into, and that'll be kind of a... underlying kind of favorite as well.
Yeah. I graduated high school in 2014. Something like 2010, I guess. There was a lot. It was the era of Shinedown, Sound of Madness came out. I got hardcore into that. But before that, I was getting... At first, you couldn't tell me there was anything cooler than Guns N' Roses. But then I kind of opened up more to Metallica, and I got Injustice for All. And that's when I learned how to... play like metal guitar.
That's a big chunky album right there.
I learned like Harvester of Sorrow and Blackened. I learned how to, I really dug into that album and learned how to play that picking style of James Hetfield. So that helped me. And then I got into Nirvana, and that helped me with finding chord structures, you know, kind of different, because I really appreciated how Kurt Cobain would take a chord structure that most people maybe wouldn't use, and then he would put a melody over it that would instantly get stuck in your head. It may not sound the best live doing it. That's what I appreciated from him. And then I heard Alice in Chains, and that's when it just... Because my dad was always telling me about... Because I never wanted to be a singer, but he was like always stressing to me how important harmonies were, and harmonies, and harmonies, and harmonies. And I bought Alice in Chains' Best of the Box when I was in high school, maybe. I think high school, yeah. And man, I spent two summers locked up in my room just listening to this. Like, I remember they'd be like, get a call like, Trevor, let's go to this party tonight, man. And I love to party. But I was like, man, I can't. I got to listen to this album. I have to learn. And so it was just... those bands and those orders taught me, like, Appetite for Destruction taught me what rock and roll was, what danger was, what getting your, you know, making people want to put their poster on their walls, you know? And then Metallica taught me, you know, that rhythm. And then Nirvana taught me melody and chord structure. And then Alice in Chains came in and just... blew me away, man. So that was my earliest influences, and now I don't necessarily try to be influenced by a band's sound, because someone gave me some advice not too long ago. It's like, you know, if you're listening to stuff today and you're trying to emulate it, he's like, what's the point? He's like, you need to be thinking about tomorrow and next week. I'm a big gearhead now, and I'm trying to learn like the ins and outs of like tube amps and all this stuff. So I'm influenced by bands and their rigs of how they're running stuff.
Hey, well, that's part of the deal, especially you're a musician.
Yes. And I love it.
That's cool.
Never thought that I would become that guy.
I think it's good to be that guy.
Yes, because on the road, you know, at our level, we can't really afford to pay anybody to fix our stuff.
You got to learn to do it yourself. Yeah. Yeah. Kiss, what's a favorite song or favorite album?
Oh, man, that's a good one. I love Love Gun so much.
Mm-hmm.
But I love Deuce.
Uh-huh. So Deuce may be a favorite song, but Love Gun a favorite album.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And also Love Gun a favorite song too. Destroyer definitely was an awesome album. Which one was the one that had the orange?
You talking about Rock and Roll Over?
Yes.
Yeah, Rock and Roll Over.
I like
was,
that one.
That's the middle album between those two you mentioned.
See, my cousins had to sneak me those CDs. They would come over to the house like they were coming to say hi to my parents.
Uh-huh.
My parents didn't want me listening to them. And they'd be like, Trevor. And I would just skip the disc. And then the Kiss album that was the dark gray. Said Kiss. Dressed to Kill.
Mm-hmm.
That one was a good one.
Yep.
But as far as songs goes, Strutter, I love that riff. What's another one? Domino, is that one?
Domino's on Revenge, 1992.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So you know it. I don't know the...
Well, I'm a little bit older than you, yeah. And I've been doing this a little bit longer.
I claim to be this huge Kiss fan.
You'll get there, man. Don't worry about it. It's all good.
It was just the music and everything hit me so hard and everything. Let's see. Detroit Rock City was a good time for me. The movie.
Mm-hmm. That is a fun movie, isn't it?
How many times I've watched that movie?
Yeah, it's fun.
Oh, my gosh. I've watched that movie so many times. Because back then, there wasn't a way to see Kiss for me.
Yeah, okay. Well, you know, they got another tour coming up, and this is supposed to be it.
I know.
Yeah, so we'll see.
I mean, I've got to figure out a way to do that because, I mean, like I said, I look at them more as like most people will look at Batman or Spider-Man.
I understand.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I was the same way, you know, because I was around kind of when all that was happening because I'm a little bit older than you. So it was like that for me too. I mean, I liked a little bit of the comic book, you know, stuff, but really Kiss was, like you said, kind of like my superheroes.
So you were around, like, let me try to figure out how to word this. Do you remember when you first heard of them?
Yep. First time I saw Kiss, it was when I was quite young, and they were on the Paul Lynde Halloween special.
Okay.
And I was sitting there, and basically my eyes bugged out, and I was like, what is that?
Kind of like how I am with Ghost right now.
Yeah, and I'm just like, man, that I got to know more about these guys.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, and it went from there. So yeah, that's how I got into Kiss. I saw them on TV and was like, what the heck is that?
When was the first time you met them?
First time I met Kiss was in the 80s. They were their Asylum tour. They were in Little Rock, Arkansas, and they were doing like a week kind of pre-production before the tour started.
Yeah.
And so we went over there and just kind of hung out thinking, hey, man, maybe that, you know, they'll pop up or something. And sure enough, they did. Limo came through the gate. We're standing there, and they were cool enough to stop. And, well, it wasn't all of them. It was Gene. Gene was the first one I met.
Yeah.
So that was the very first time.
So you got to talk to him that time?
Yeah. Oh, I've met him a number of times.
I know you've met him a lot.
Kiss, we talked about Kiss. How about Guns N' Roses? Favorite song, favorite album? Probably Appetite for Destruction.
I liked Appetite for Destruction, definitely. I had to get it.
Oh, you've got it tattooed on you.
Oh, across the chest. Across the chest.
Well, then you don't even have to answer. You just go, there it is. Yeah.
But I do like, there's a lot of cool songs on Use Your Illusion. I like the... theatricalness to Use Your Illusion 1 and 2 because that's when they were doing the huge festival tours.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was like 91, 92.
Yep. Mm-hmm. They were out with Metallica and all that kind of stuff.
My favorite thing about Use Your Illusion is Matt Sorum's drum, his tom sound.
Uh-huh.
They were just shloom, doom, da, doom, doom, yeah. Doom. The way those toms sounded on that album were freaking amazing.
Very cool.
And then I like GNR Lies. Even Chinese Democracy, there's some songs that I like. But I tell you what, Crowder, he's going to kill me for telling you guys this. When we found out that I was having a kid, he got me a gift.
Mm-hmm.
He got me the thing they came out with that you get the what's it called? It was the Guns N' Roses. It comes with all the pre-production they did at Sound City.
Oh, he got you the reissue of Appetite for Destruction.
Yes, with like 30 bonus tracks.
Do you have that on CD?
Yes.
I need a copy of that extra CD.
I will get you. Man, it is amazing.
Yeah.
Because there's versions of November Rain mm-hmm. in pre-production where like Axl Rose is kind of just like, you know, working it out.
Mm-hmm.
There's most of the songs, like basically all of Appetite for Destruction, they pre-prod at Sound City.
Mm-hmm.
So it's cool to go back and listen to that and be like, okay, well, what did he change about that solo there? Mm-hmm. Or what lyric was changed there?
Yeah.
Not really much was changed.
Well, let me ask you this, because they released that in different versions. There's the two-disc CD, there's the box set, and there's the ridiculously expensive, which I'm sure you didn't get that. Did you get the two-disc or the box set?
Yeah, he doesn't love me that much.
Oh, so you got the two-disc.
I got the... What's the box set?
Well, I mean, it's a box set. It's in a box. It comes with like four or five CDs. I think maybe a DVD.
He got me the two discs.
Okay.
Which I was so grateful
for. Well, yeah, you know, absolutely. So it's always cool, nice when somebody does something nice yeah. for you. Absolutely.
Even if he would have got me a sticker that said Guns N' Roses. I mean, that's, you know, I'm thankful for stuff like that.
I think he loves you.
Yeah.
At least a little bit.
He does.
So give me one song off of Appetite for Destruction. If somebody's listening right now, and I can't believe somebody had never heard Appetite for Destruction, mm-hmm. but if somebody's listening right now going, I've heard of Guns N' Roses, I've never heard Appetite for Destruction, which again, I can't believe that nobody's ever heard. One song, like, go listen to this song.
Now, is that...
Just one song off the original release.
Am I telling them to go listen to that song to just show them what rock and roll is?
So this is primo Guns N' Roses. You listen to this, you'll get the essence of this band.
I'd say... Out to Get Me.
Out to Get Me.
Because it starts off with that...
See, that is so cool that you named that song. You came off with something a little bit off the beaten path.
Yeah.
Most people, oh, just go listen to Welcome to the Jungle. I'm like, well, yeah.
Yeah, well...
But see, that
when Slash
you are a Guns N' Roses fan.
Yeah, dude. Because yeah. I think Izzy tracked the first rhythm.
Mm-hmm.
And if you listen to it in headphones, you'll hear the riff start. And then you'll hear... The mm-hmm. second riff comes in. It's the yeah. same riff, but yep. the way it comes in, yeah. you just know it's about to kick yeah. your, you know,
your ass. You
your
can
ass.
Say that. It's a podcast.
I can say ass.
You can say ass.
It's going to kick
you know.
Your ass.
Yeah.
But man, that's such a hard thing. I would also tell them to listen to something like I like for people to understand Slash's guitar tone the way I understand it. It was immaculate, but and it was because of the amp that he was using. Which is a funny story about that amp. Do you know about what happened with that amp?
I'm not sure. You tell me, and we'll see if I know it.
Well, Sweet Child of Mine, have you ever noticed how that intro just has this certain sound to it, a smoothness to it that
sure.
just sounds so good?
Yeah, yeah.
So what happened? Somebody's going to be like, he's totally wrong. That's not what happened. So he was using basically a modded out Marshall Silver Jubilee, and they were practicing in this music store. And Slash had rented this modded Marshall Jubilee,
mm-hmm.
and he recorded. This is when they recorded with Mike Klink and at Geffen Records and all that.
Mm-hmm.
He went and recorded, and he was like, "I'm keeping this amp. I'm not taking this back."
Yeah,
and he borrowed it from the music store that was letting them practice there.
Yeah, so kindly stole it.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah,
but at this point they were like us. I mean, they were bare. Like they had. Nothing,
uh-huh.
you know, because yeah. I mean, we're just barely you can buy,
uh-huh.
But that's the fun.
Well, you're supposed to for a while. That's the way, you know, you appreciate yeah. what's going on, and if things keep going, and you know, maybe someday you make it, you know, etc. You'll appreciate those
exactly.
days, yeah. Because bands that do that, far as I'm concerned, got a lot more going for them than these bands that just pop up singing in the shower somewhere and they got a record.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because
you got to pay your dues, man.
Money only takes you so far. I feel like it's a dead end street.
Got to have some talent.
Yeah. Yeah.
yeah.
And you gotta be hungry for
yeah.
it. And I mean, that's how we've been since 4:49, man.
Yeah.
I mean, me and Malcolm especially, dude. There's been mm-hmm. we have starved for this. But so Slash was starving, and. It's so funny. I could not imagine how irate he was. So this Jubilee had been modded out by this guy,
mm-hmm.
and the sound that came out of it was just, I mean, if you listen to Appetite for Destruction,
mm-hmm.
one of Slash's guitar techs, when they were, I think they were loading out after recording, he took it back to the music store.
Oh, yeah. He's
and
like, bummer,
then
man, I was going to steal that.
Someone buys the amp.
Uh-huh.
and Slash has never found it.
449, the first band that really kind of did something for you?
Yeah, that was the first band I was ever in. I was forced into that band.
You were forced?
Yeah.
How did that happen?
I was just playing guitar in my room, and I just wanted to be able to tell people, hey, I can play I can play Riders of the Damned by Black Label Society. That's all I wanted to be able to do is just tell people, yeah, I can play that. Well, there was a band from home called 449. I didn't know them personally, but I started talking to Malcolm. I was in eighth grade, and I was like, man, I really want to come, you know, listen to you guys practice, because, I mean, you guys are a band. That's cool. I just want to come listen to some guitars.
Hey, I know somebody that's in a band.
Yeah. So, one night I go to a practice, and their singer didn't show up. And they were auditioning a new drummer that night. So, for like 2 hours, I just kind of sat in the corner. And I'd had my wisdom teeth taken out that day. So, I almost didn't go.
Yeah. You weren't feeling your best.
I felt terrible. I sat there. And I'm listening to him play, and I'm like, this is awesome. It's so cool. And somebody said, hey, guys, let's jam that Blackstone Cherry song, Rain Wizard. And back when, you know, when we were younger, and it was like Blackstone Cherry was like, you know.
Everybody's favorite.
Yeah, yeah. Still are. So Jordan pointed to me. He said, how about you sing it as a joke? I mean, he didn't even know me. I think he was kind of being a smartass. And I was like, I don't sing. And he was like, no, dude, just get up here and do it, man. We're just having fun. So they started playing it, and I had remembered the lyrics because Blackstone Cherry was the first concert I'd ever seen. That's the concert that made me realize I want to play music. I did just want to play guitar. But after seeing that Willow Shade and Blackstone Cherry concert, I wanted to play guitar on stage. So I got up there, and they, you know, it was like, and I was like, here comes the rain! And I saw them look at each other. And then I started singing it, and nobody said anything. And I was like, God, this is embarrassing. And they was like, do you know Paradise City? And I was like, yeah. He's like, sing it. And I was like, I don't want to do this. So we start doing it, and then I'm like, take me to the Paradise City with the grass. All the high parts, and they're not saying anything still.
Yep.
Well, it was just funny because we got done with that, and Jordan and Malcolm went downstairs, and I didn't know what was going on. They come back upstairs, and Malcolm's like, look, man. I'll be honest. I don't give a shit that you're 15 years old. You're singing for us.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't sing, man. He was like, nope, you're singing for us.
Yep.
So then after that, Malcolm pretty much put me under the old wing, and we took off and just hit it hard, man. Yeah.
How many CDs did 449 release?
Oh my God. When we were able to record on our own, I wrote, as far as songs, probably 6 albums worth of material.
Well, how many did you like? Well, you said we're pressing a CD. How many CDs? Not,
I think.
Was it 2, 3?
I think 3.
3. So you guys released 3 CDs as 449.
3 or 4.
So what happened that 449 ended and then Kiss Kiss Bang began?
Well, Bush, our drummer that we had, he had a kid. And Jordan was graduating from EKU. And, you know, this whole time he'd been going to college. And they were just moving in directions where they weren't going to be able to devote enough time to the band they wanted to.
Sure.
And, you know, Malcolm and I knew that this is what we had to do.
Yeah.
You know, we had given up everything else. Because in high school, I was in beta, leadership, all that stuff. And I quit all that. I was like, I need to focus on this. So it wasn't like, hey, you know, screw you guys. We're not talking anymore. Like, we all still talk. Pretty much, you know, weekly, if not, you know, once a month, twice a month.
It's like a relationship. The band just ran its course.
Yeah. And they knew that me and Malcolm and myself needed to play music. And they were like, you guys, you know, keep moving.
Yeah.
So, you know, there was a year there where me and Malcolm were like, man, what the hell are we going to do? And.
Well, didn't he go out to California or something?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And and I stopped playing music. I needed to go back home and just, you know, reboot. And see my family, because that's been the hardest thing for the past 10 years is being away from my family. So I had this idea because I started working with this guy who was in this band called Backwoods Brotherhood. I thought he sang really well. I was like, but man, if he could play bass and if I could teach him how to sing harmonies, I could steal him. And then if I could talk Corbin into playing drums, we would have the baddest band around.
Yep.
And it took me forever. And Andrew, one day we were on, because we were working together at Magna. We were just pals. I would go to his shows and, you know, jam with him. One day he said, man, I thought about it. I'm gonna join. I want to do it. I was like, are you serious? He's like, yep. And then Corbin, of course, was all about it. And then we moved out to 185 at this one room shack. We lived there for a year, and it was in the middle of nowhere.
The whole band or just the two of you?
It's kind of weird. Basically, just the two of us, but the whole band Thursday through Sunday.
Yeah. So it became kind of the band house.
Yes, but we lived there, we ate there, we showered there.
Yeah.
Sparingly.
Kind of went through ideas for songs and, hey, man, what do you think about this? That kind of thing.
We had a full PA set up. Like, it was just a living room, tiny kitchen. The kitchen was a little smaller than this room, and it's just a big open living room. And then there was a bedroom and a bathroom. Mm-hmm. It was tiny. But that whole living room was our practice spot, and that was the beginning days of Kiss Kiss Bang. And we would just go out there, and we would write and write and write and write till 4 a.m.
How many years ago was that?
That was 2 years ago.
2 years ago. You guys have already released one CD, and now you're working on a second CD.
Yeah. All the songs from that, from Open Wide, were mostly written out there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the songs that are written for this album is more along the lines of, all right, Crowder's in the band now. Let's get together. Because I don't like having writing sessions. Like, usually the way I write is I'll be at work or something, and a melody will get stuck in my head, translated onto a guitar. And that's how everybody does it in the band. And then we just build it and build it and build it. And if it's crap, we'll toss it and come back to it later. And sometimes it's cool, sometimes it's not. Mm-hmm. I mean, technically we're still trying to find our sound, but I think we're getting to the point where we have. Mm-hmm. We're getting closer anyway.
Mm-hmm. Straight ahead rock and roll, man. That's what you guys are.
That's what we want to be.
The music is good. You guys put on a good live show. Those that are listening right now, do you have any websites or anything they can go to check you guys out? Keep up with what's going on with Facebook, Kiss Kiss Bang?
Facebook and Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
I'm terrible with that. I don't even have Instagram.
It's all good. Just Facebook and Instagram. Yeah. They know how to use it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you guys are there.
But
all the shows will be posted there and all that.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to get an Instagram soon because everybody keeps telling me to get an Instagram because I'm always posting, you know, videos on Facebook of my life. My philosophy is we're not trying to reinvent the wheel. We're just putting some new tread on it.
Okay.
That's kind of what I want to do.
It's a retread.
Yeah, just retread it.
Yeah. Well, we're just about ready to wrap it up, but I will ask you this. Do you have anything else that you would like to add, say, ask, anything like that?
Yes. Honestly, I'd like to just thank everybody who has supported us, man, because, you know, we didn't know what was going to happen when we was like, well, we're going to start a band and we're going to, let's have a show or a debut show in 4 months.
Mm-hmm.
And then it sold out. 30 over capacity.
Yeah.
And every show at Spillway, they've allowed us to have those shows there. Because we try to have a show at Spillway once a year, mm-hmm. try to space it out. I just want to thank those people, man. And I know everybody says that, but I wish I could, like, tell my life story to these people. Because I feel like it would make them understand how much it means to me. Because, you know, I'm a kid from Berksville who sometimes would worry about when I came home, like, are the lights going to be on, you know? Or, you know, like, I've had to go to the creek and pour creek water into the toilet just to get it to flush, you know what I'm saying? So coming from that and the way that, and that's another, you know, being away from the family, that's been the hardest thing.
Mm-hmm.
But family is what drives me, you know, to give them a better life one day. And I want to thank the people that are making that hopefully a possibility, because it's crazy to me. It really is. And I want to thank all the DJs and thank you for always having our back. And, just, you know, the crew, everybody who's been a part of this and anybody who would like to be a part of it. Because once you're in the crew, we're just family, man.
Mm-hmm.
And thank you guys so much. And just come out to a show. And if you're a non-believer, come out and check it out. And if you don't like it, well, I'll give you your money back and I'll buy you a beer.
You have to be careful when you say stuff like that. All right.
I know, especially when it might be mediocre.